it, and we'll not, we may not look at them, and we may, it just depends. But in lesson number two, which is about John the Immerser, we looked through all the review questions quickly last week, and we looked at the first thought question, and that is, in what sense was John like Elijah? So we want to finish that lesson up today and perhaps get into lesson three. Any question about what I just said or what we pointed out? Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we gather in the name of Jesus this morning to praise you and give thanks unto you for the blessings that we have in him. The eternal life that we can enjoy, the blessings of knowing and studying your scriptures. We're thankful for the fact that he came as Emmanuel, meaning God with us, that he is your son, that he is the son of man, that he is Savior. We pray as we study about the life that he lived here on the earth from these books that are in your Bible, that we will have an appreciation for what he did, not only the suffering that he went through, but also the teaching that he left to bring about the kingship, the saviorship, the being the Son of Man and our Master and Lord. We pray that we go again appreciate those things as we study from your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Questions for thought on lesson number two. You make any sense out of the second question, the question for thought? You guys need another sheet? Got everything? Sorry, I got it. This is lesson two. Did I give you lesson three? I picked it up and thought it was lesson two. So you guys got lesson three, right? Well, just hang on to it. That's not what I meant to give you. Here's lesson two. You know, look onto it with us. I think there's two of them there. Questions for thought in lesson two down there. Number two, it says, what other person in the Bible is called a Baptist besides John? Got the answer to that? Must not be anybody. Nobody's answer to that question. Why would this person, well, let's see, what is his name? John Asher? Forgotten what his name is. Jeff Asher is the one that printed up this material. Why would Jeff ask that question? Any idea? I haven't read his mind, so I can't tell you for sure. But well, let's look at the rest of that question. Why was John called the Baptist? He what people? Okay, he baptize people, which is one of my pet peeves. Baptizing people? No. That they didn't translate the word. Baptizo is a very common word in the language in which they spoke, as you all probably realize, and it simply meant to immerse. Submerge. And again, I don't know why the translators, the English versions, did not translate it. It may have been a prejudice or whatever. But so John was immersing people in the Jordan River. So he was called John the Immerser. Now, the first part of this question, what other person in the Bible is called a Baptist besides John? And you said nobody. My question was, why did he ask that? Why did Jeff ask that? Have any idea? Any speculation? Any assumption?
The assumption would be there's possibly somebody. I don't know who it is.
Not anybody else in the Bible that's called that. To make a study? That might be part of it. I think there's another reason, and I don't know what his was. Do you find people today calling themselves that? That's where people today get the designation, I'm sure. All right, if you don't know, we're going to go to number three. Whose authority did John baptize? By whose authority did John immerse? You got your Bibles open to Matthew 21? Is that the passage that will tell us? What verse is that? 25? Matthew 21, 25? This is a question that Jesus asked some people. Actually, when he had come into the temple, verse 23 of Matthew 21, I'm sorry. Matthew 21, verse 23. When he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. Who's the him and he here?
Jesus.
When Jesus came into the temple, he was teaching and said, by what authority? They asked him and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you authority? This is way down the line in our survey of the life of Christ, but it tells us something here about John the Immerser. So these people came and asked Jesus in the temple. Evidently, they thought that he was doing these things, teaching these things by somebody's authority. So they asked him, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. So Jesus is going to answer their question with the question. And that's verse 25. He asked them, the baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or men? So they reasoned among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, then he'll say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for they all hold John to be a prophet. They answered Jesus and said, we don't know. He also said to them, well, neither I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Does that tell us by what authority John did things?
Heaven's.
Pardon?
Heaven's authority.
Heaven's authority. Is that all that we have? Of course, Jesus' implication here is that certainly John did baptism was by heaven's authority. That's what he wanted them to say, but they wouldn't do it. What's the other passage there? John 1, 33. Yeah. Turn it over there. I don't have any more lesson twos, unless that's one there. Yeah, they're all gone, unless that's one right there in front of Brian. John 1, 33. This is a little more direct. Let's start at verse 29. You've read 33 now. John 1, 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, who's the he that saw Jesus? All right, John the Immerser, not John this writing this letter. Verse 29, he saw Jesus come to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I have said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. This is John the Immerser speaking. And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came immersing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who immerses in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. So how did John say why? That's not the emphasis of this passage here, but how did John say he had authority to immerse people? In what words? He who sent me to immerse in water said to me, who was it that sent John? It was God. So the answer to that question is, by whose authority did John immerse people? It was by God's authority. Everybody knew that, didn't we?
There's a lot in that word, sent.
Yes. And Kelly has a point, or question, or comment.
This is probably very trivial, but is John ever referred to as John the Baptist actually in the scriptures, or is it just the headings that we're getting?
Okay, the question is, and Brian is going to answer it, the question is John ever called the Immerser, or the Baptist as it's translated? Sure. Baptizo.
Yeah. Mark 1:4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness.
Okay, so he is called that in the scripture. It wasn't just something that we...
External, right?
Right, yeah.
We came up with.
Right. Okay. All clear? Yes. Evan. Evan points out that because there were a lot of Johns back there, and this is one reason, but it's a good reason. And Evan points out that because there were a number of people named John. It was a very common name back in those days. And so to distinguish from some other John, and of course we just read from what's called the Gospel of John, written by the Apostle John, to distinguish this John, the Immerser, from others, then that's what the people called him. In addition to that, there's a great number of people that went out to the Jordan River. And John would have had a reputation of that guy that's out there immersing. That's the John we're talking about. So that's another reason too. That wasn't right. That wasn't a common thing for a guy to be out there in Judea wearing sackcloth. Animal skin, yes, that's what I meant to say. Eating the locust and wild honey, not having cut his hair or his beard. He got a hippie out there baptizing people, and his name's John. that's what I call it. You guys know what? You guys that weren't around in 67 don't know what a hippie is, or do you know? Okay, well... Yes.
You know where they got the name Gibbs from?
No, I've forgotten.
Well, they used to give them, when they were taking their drugs, they would have another needle mark on their arm. They'd hurt the teeth and fall up in the head.
Really? Okay, I'm not making fun of them, but the fact is that those people had, and the Haight-Ashbury district in San Francisco was, it was amazing when we were there in 1967 to see the people that were trying to find themselves. Okay, all right. Anything else? John then was baptizing. John was immersing people out there because God sent him to do it. And we're going to talk more about what John's work was, but that's why he was called that. The next question for thought is number 4. What was the purpose and design of John's baptism? Now, you get this question right, then you'll get some questions in lesson 3 correct as well, because it repeats it. So what was the purpose or design of John's immersion? Okay, one at a time. Hold your hand up. I'll recognize you. I heard 3 or 4. Okay.
Call people to repentance.
Down here. Your name is George? Ethan. And what was that? That's what you were going to say? What else? Anything else? Mo.
The story is we'll bring them back to God.
Okay, in that repentance, they would be... pointed back to God. Who is it that he's talking to, or that we're talking about, to be brought back to God?
Israel.
The Israelites, the Jews. Anything else that his baptism was for?
Remission of sins.
No, if only one person speaks, well, you don't need to raise your hand, but when 3 do, I need to know who's who. Okay. So, we need to pass the scripture that says that.
Mark
is one of them. Look at the first chapter of Mark while we're there. Okay, Mark starts out in verse 1, 2, and 3 there, beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he quotes. And then in verse 4, John the Immerser appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance. So that's one of it, part of it, that somebody's already said, and then Brian brought up, for the forgiveness of sin. And verse 5, and all the country of Judea was going out to him and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being immersed by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Mo? Okay. Matthew 3, did you say?
Matthew 3, verse 2.
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We'll find out Jesus did that too. In Luke, the 3rd chapter. It says, he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. This is talking about John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John didn't preach in the cities. He preached out there in the wilderness, the Jordan River. There weren't people around. The Jordan River is... west of the city of Jericho, but that's not where John was preaching. And so his purpose, design, you might say threefold or whatever, Mo?
Jericho was, yeah.
Did I say?
The river was Jericho. The other way. You had to cross the Jordan River to get to the city of Jericho.
You're right. Jordan River was, I mean, Jericho was west of the Jordan River. I had it backwards. Just a miss. That's a typo. Okay? Ted? You're bringing up Acts 19, and that's way down the line.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
Never mind.
Never mind. Okay, thank you, Ted. Sort of does, yes. But not in the sequence of events. It has a lot to do in one sense. But when we study the book of Acts and Acts 19, are you curious? I'll tell you. Some people who had been baptized only by John's baptism, and so when they found out that some of the brethren said, well, you need to know about Jesus' baptism, and so that's what they were immersed in, the name of Jesus. All right, but as I said, it's pertinent to John, and yet it's not to our chronological study right now. Brian?
Well, part of this question was, is it laughing?
Let's see.
We kind of like to ignore that whole verse there. That whole phrase, for the forgiveness of sins, that doesn't fit into our paradigm.
Yes. We'll be looking at repentance in lesson 3, but maybe we should go ahead and explore it a little bit more. I had a thought while you were talking, Brian, and I missed it. Okay. And Brian's exactly right that we sometimes remember that John the Immerser told the people to repent. He told them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but they were baptized for the remission of sins when John preached to them. What did they do before that? They repented. What did the Jews repent of, these Jews that he's only talking to Jews. What did they repent of? He told them to repent, so why? Why would he tell them to repent? Of their sins, yeah. What sins did they have? Pardon me?
It's a change of mind, too.
But it wasn't a change of mind about Christ. Well, unless it's coming, Christ.
No?
Christ came because they had turned their back on God and they weren't following God. God was not was not their primary focus.
So,
to bring Israel from Judah back to God, so he preached the kingdom of heaven with his hand, and they didn't repent, then they're going to die in their sins.
So the Jews at this time, and when we say that, we're looking at not specific people, but in general. They had left God from the time of Malachi till now, which is 400 years. And so John says, turn, change your mind, get back to God, repent of the ways that you have been going. And really, who they were following by this time were the Pharisees, who Jesus severely condemned, and were leading the people astray, and were making laws that God didn't make, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what they needed to repent of, change their mind about, get back to God being their God. right? So, change your mind. Be immersed for the remission of your sins. Patrick?
Yeah, I think that that's what you're saying is described and explained in more detail in Luke chapter 3, where it talks extensively about John there, and it also says there that he baptized for the forgiveness of sin.
Right. Thank you. Good. I had Luke 3 open here, and we're going to read it in just a minute. I appreciate that, Patrick. Ward, go ahead, and then we'll look at Luke 3.
Yeah, you mentioned getting back to God, turning back to God. Think that would involve also a renewed recognition of his prophecies that he made concerning
right, that would be a part of it, and Jesus did that particularly. And I don't think I gave you a sheet that has, at least in Matthew, I have a sheet that shows all the passages in Matthew that are either a quote or a reference to some of the Old Testament prophecies. Luke, the 3rd chapter. Open there. We're going to read several verses. Patrick read some of them. I'll read down to where he was. I realize that perhaps you have already read this. As we said, we don't have Luke 3 up here. But as a sheet, yeah, it's over there for lesson 2-3. Luke, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. Some names in there you've heard. This is not the purpose of me reading this, but you do have a chart of Herod's family, and some of them are mentioned here. And you notice Pontius Pilate's mentioned there? Way back here, Pontius Pilate was around, and when Jesus was before him, that's several years later. But anyhow, in verse 2, in the priesthood, Luke is giving the historical current events background. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. The Annas and Caiaphas were also part of Jesus' trial. So we got two more guys mentioned. Verse 3, he came into all the district round about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough roads smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Ward mentioned prophecy. Luke records one here about John the Immerser. Verse 7, he therefore began, he, meaning John the Immerser, began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be immersed by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Remember that verse. There's a question. I don't know if it's now. I'd have to look to see if it's in number 3 or number 2 or 3 lesson. But anyway, now, verse 8. Who warned you, he said to these people, to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not bring began to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Also, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John is talking about what's going to happen to these people if they don't turn and just forget this thought that just because you're descendants of Abraham, you're all right. So, he says, it says then in verse 10, and the multitudes were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And some tax gatherers also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, tell, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And the soldiers came questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? What question are they answering? What? I mean, they are asking a question in reference to what, I didn't ask that right. What made him ask this question, what shall we do? Is that not a, Mo? Mary? Pardon me? Okay, who warned you from the wrath to come? And did he say something about
bear fruit
in keeping with changing your mind? Verse 8. So they said, okay, that's what you're telling us, bear fruit in keeping with what? We change of mind. He told the tax gatherers, when they asked, what shall we do? Well, don't extort more than what you should. The soldiers, what should we do? And he said to them, don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Were those things that those people were doing on behalf of the Romans, maybe, but was that what they were doing? The tax collectors. Yeah. That was a sin. Who was a tax collector that became a disciple of Christ? Matthew, not only a disciple, but also an apostle. Yeah. If he did, he certainly repented, didn't he? Okay, well, that's through. Did I read verse 14?
Yeah,
I did. So, there we have the situation that John is out there, and the people come to him, and he tells them, you need to change your mind, and you need to repent and bring forth actions that show that you have repented. Soldiers don't extort. Tax collectors do the same thing. Don't extort. So that was the purpose of John, design of John's baptism, number 4. Why did John call the Pharisees vipers in number 5? They were snakes. Okay, a viper is a snake. And we read the verse there that said, you in verse 7 of Luke 3, when the people came out to be immersed by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why did he call them vipers? Now, Luke 7, 29 and 30, did anybody make any sense out of that passage? You turn over there, read it, I didn't see any connection whatsoever, but maybe I missed it. Should we read it to see what? Luke 7, 29 and 30, that's question number 5 there, C, Luke 7, 29 and 30.
Probably 30.
Go ahead and read it, Brian.
The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. They were snakes because they did not accept God's purpose for themselves. Flip it around the other way.
Okay. So that passage that he gives you there in Luke, to see Luke 7, 29 and 30, doesn't say anything that about John calling them that. But that, yes, and so there is a connection, Brian has pointed out. Yeah, they were snakes. And the passages here in Luke is 3, verse 7, and it's the same thing in Matthew. Matthew 3, verse 7 is the parallel passage that he called them that. I see Ward's hand and then Ted's and Kyle's. Okay, I'm not sure if I got the connection of when God sent vipers. I know that that's the case, but there's an analogy there. Ward points out that God sent vipers among the people of Israel back over there in Numbers something. And why did he send them? You talked about it last week. Okay, and when the vipers bit them, what did they cry out? They cried out, and what did God tell Moses to do? Break the bronze serpent, put it out there, and they'd cure everybody. If they looked at it, they had the faith to do so. All right. Amen. All right. Ted's next, and then Kyle. Okay, Kyle? Okay, good. Thanks, Kyle, and the other comments, too. Get you a minute, Mo. Were there any good people among the Jews at this time or any other time?
Yes.
Always been. There was a remnant that was faithful to God. The remnant was brought back from Babylonian captivity. There's going to be a remnant here in John and Jesus' day that will listen to both of John and Jesus. And so the remnant was very important, and even for us today. But there were people, like John called here, who were like vipers. They weren't actual snakes, were they? Like you see in some of these movies. I can't even tell you which one might. Maybe some of you. I don't watch any movies lately anyway that has vipers in them. But I saw a little bit of King Kong last night. And there were some vipers out there. I'd forgotten it had a lot of stuff in it. I didn't watch much of it. It was there just to see what I remembered. Anyhow, there were some viper-looking snakes in that movie. Anyway, people have a good reputation in their mind of vipers, or have in their mind a good reputation of snakes. People come to our house like some did last Sunday, and they saw four snakes in our garden. Some of them went like that. And they're just little garden snakes. Won't hurt you. Go ahead, Mo. And what chapter was that you referred to?
Matthew 12, verse 34.
Matthew 12, and also you read Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Ward. Okay, Mary, and then Brian, and then Mike, I get the last comment. Is that in the Florida swamps? Brian?
Going back to Kyle bringing up John 8, this guy in our lesson sheet, I don't think brings up John 8, but it's very interesting, maybe even pertinent, because they answered in verse 39, Abraham is our father. It's just what John said, don't call yourself sons of Abraham, you can raise them up from stone. Jesus said, if you raise Abraham's children, do the deed.
Right.
But as it is, you're seeking to kill me. And you are doing the deeds of your father. Which what he's really saying is, Satan is your father.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, that connection there, even down the road with Jesus. I didn't want to bring up the sons of Abraham thing, but really the son of Satan. So it's very perfect.
Yeah, John and Jesus both face the same group of people. As far as these vipers, as he called them. Yeah, vipers, as was pointed out, is usually that term that designates a venomous snake, and the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites were very venomous in their leading the people astray. I'm not particularly afraid of snakes. I played with a rattlesnake down in the Imperial Valley one time when we were out in the desert and with a stick, and it was pretty interesting. As long as I didn't let him coil up, he was useless as far as hurting me. But I wouldn't recommend it. But
not so with all rattlesnakes.
Not so with all rattlesnakes. Yeah, this one is about that long, but only about that big around. Kramer, I said I was going to have the last comment, but I mentioned Imperial Valley, so you got it. It was our times, but it was really interesting when we'd go out in the Imperial Valley and go up into the mountains and in our dune buggies and our four-wheel drives, and what you would see out there is all God's creation. And you think the desert is not beautiful? It is in its own way. All right, enough selling about the desert. Lesson number 3, and I handed it out last week. And if you need a copy, they're up here. And lesson number 3 is about the baptism of Jesus. And that's the passages over there, Matthew 3 and 4, Mark 1 and Luke 3 and 4. And so some of what we have looked at in lesson 2 is, again, in lesson 3. We'll not take a lot of time on it, but let's see what we can learn next week from that. Okay.